That's right. This is the number one radio show for more than 25 years in a row. This heap of steaming garbage is right here. It's the Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show.
We got this email, rad@radradio.com. Looks like it's from Phil.
Hey, Phil.
So I mentioned a few things, little passing comments that we'll make now and then that I know can take over the show and can lead to various arguments and such. And, you know, as a rule, we try to keep arguments to a minimum unless they're really stupid. Like, you know, is a hot dog a sandwich and stuff like that. Every now and then you got to get into the serious stuff. But I know you can say things that'll trigger people. And so there's already been a couple things that were mentioned that I said, you know, at some point we'll be happy to argue with you over. The most recent one was the whole idea that alcoholism is neither a disease nor an addiction, which I believe about a variety of things. And we've had that discussion and that argument. It always triggers people and that kind of thing. And so Phil wrote in. It's sarcastically saying, Rob, obesity is clearly a disease. Have you seen the South Park episode with Cartman? A case closed. Right. I get it. I understand that all of you need to have these titles and these things, yep, to make yourself feel better. The very short version of the argument is, whether it's gambling, obesity, drug addiction, alcohol, they are all compulsions. They are things we give into. There are things we decide. Exercise. You can absolutely become addicted to it. They are things that we begin the behavior by giving into it. We give into it over and over again. Eventually, our body becomes dependent on it. Our mind becomes dependent on it. That does not make it a disease or an addiction. It is a compulsion, and we do have the ability to stop at any time when we want. That's the short version of the argument, because you do not get to retort, because we're going to play Master of Movies.
Master of Movies, I'm feeding you lies, twisting your brain for a really cool prize. Action, adventure, sci-fi, comedy, just take the film and you'll reign supreme. You're a movie master, movie master.
We got a pair of tickets to see Chevelle at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno on April 23rd. Caller 18. Hello there, Matt. Good morning.
Yo, yo, yo.
If you know the movie title, you will win. If not, we will go to Eric.
What's up?
And Diana, you're caller 20.
Good morning, Red.
Good morning.
We are looking for a 1994 comedy.
I know why. Because I was so angry at you.
Kind of a kid's comedy too, right?
I don't know.
A little bit. Yeah, I kind of think so.
I know why. Because I was so angry at you.
Matt, do you know the name of the movie?
God, Little Rascals.
How about you, Eric?
Serial Mom.
What?
I don't Serial know. Mom?
Serial Mom?
And Diana.
Nanny McPhee.
You lose.
His name is Steve.
Oh, Manny.
Manny.
Oh, God. This is about the big red dog, right? This
no.
Is, no? Oh, it's not. Oh, okay. The movie's called Clifford. I don't know what we're talking about then. It says, when his brother asked him to look after his younger son, Clifford, played by Martin Short, Martin Daniels, played by Charles Grodin. Oh, okay.
It looks good.
Agrees, taking the boy into his home and introducing him to his future wife. Clifford is fixated on the idea of visiting a famed theme park, and Martin, an engineer who helped build the park, makes plans to take him. But when Clifford reveals himself to be a first-rate brat, his uncle goes bonkers, and a loony intergenerational standoff ensues. So it looks good to Kyle. Yeah. Brandon, have you seen it?
I saw it many eons ago when I was a kid, and the Martin Short, his character, he's performing like on his knees. So he's like performing as a kid. He's got like the hat with the propeller on it, and so he's performing as a child, but it's adult Martin Short.
I love Martin Short. So the movie's called Clifford.
I think I know why. Because I was so angry at you for having promised that you would take me to Dinosaur World and then breaking that promise, Uncle Mark.
What is it with you and Dinosaur World? It's a sick thing. It's like you're obsessed with this Dinosaur World.
I believe that Dinosaur World is the only place where a boy like me can be happy.
By the way, we did get an email before we revealed the answer from Victor.
Hey, Victor.
Who wrote in and said, if they don't get that it's Clifford, then they are clearly uncultured. Oh, well.
Oh, well, I guess I'm uncultured.
Is that a reference to the movie?
Well, maybe, right?
Is Martin Short the one in Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah, it's the other Martin. Steve Martin, Martin Short.
Right, no, right,
He's not one.
But Martin Short in this movie is the Martin Short in that.
Very good. Yes, so thank you. We have another chance for you to win your Chevelle tickets. We will play Treble Trouble. No, we will not. We will play...
Yes.
Yeah, we are on Treble Trouble.
Yes, Treble Trouble. Shut up, Rob. It is Treble Trouble. You were right the first time, you idiot. That'll be at 9 a.m. We have some entertainment news.
Overture, curtain and lights. It's time for entertainment news.
So there used to be this really cool game show that was on in the morning every day on CBS until Drew Carey ruined it. It's called The Price is Right.
Yes!
I used to love Price is Right, Bob Barker and his beauties.
Granted, Bob Barker, okay, that was very sexist on Dawn's part. Now he's got, what do they call the guys now? Because it's not the beauties anymore. They've got guys and gals. I don't know what they call them. Which is fine. Who cares? It's kind of like the whole conversation of, there's nothing wrong with including average-looking or plus-size women in various magazines or photo shoots. Just don't exclude the more traditional beauties or bombshells or whatever.
Exactly.
So it's fine. You want to add guys to what used to be Barker Beauties, the models or whatever. That's fine. Just don't get rid of the hot girls, which, as far as I know, Price is Right hasn't. I can't stand watching the show with
Drew Carey. The problem isn't that they stopped with the beauties. That's just what they called them like when we would watch, right? They still have, right?
Yeah, they're still there.
Right. The problem is Drew Carey.
Right.
That's the problem. They wanted to update that. Great. I think that's great. Men, women, whatever. It's the host that has ruined it.
By the way, I don't know where I saw him recently, and I don't think it was an episode of Price is Right, and maybe that's why, but... he was being interviewed for something. It was a quick clip. Drew Carey looks so disheveled.
Yeah, he looks unhealthy.
You've seen the same thing. Okay, all right. So Price is Right. You know, come on down in the showcase showdown and the big wheel. I have to explain it now because if you're under 40, a lot of you have never seen it because you tuned in and you went, God, this is terrible. Why is this guy hosting this show? This is the worst thing I've ever seen. There's a lot of excitement when, Sally Smith, come on down, and they jump out of their seat. All indications for decades has been they have no idea they're going to be called down. It's when they're in line to go into the show, they're interviewed by producers, and producers, they kind of rank them of, okay, this will make a good contestant, this will make a good contestant, but they don't necessarily tell the people. And there can be a lot of excitement as they're running down, or if they win, the ability to go on stage.
This is going to sound so mean, but part of the entertainment is the person who gets called down, like the original, and they never win.
The whole show.
They suck at guessing.
They're the same person that's there, and they just keep getting a new neighbor next to them.
They play the whole show just down there.
Oh, God.
Below them.
And you find yourself rooting for them. You're like, oh, my God, they're still there. Come on, this is your last chance.
So one of the former producers of The Price is Right, you may recognize his name, Mike Richards. Mike Richards is the guy who's produced more than a few very successful game shows over the last few decades. He was supposed to be the replacement for Alex Trebek on Jeopardy, but he had had the audacity 10 years earlier to do a podcast where he talked about women in bikinis, so we canceled him, and he's no longer allowed to be a human being. But he's writing a book about some of his experiences and such, and he has come forward to reveal that while he was there, they never needed to use it. The Price is Right, because the show must go on, had a system in place in case a contestant's bladder went rogue on them.
Oh, okay. Well.
In case they got so excited that they number one or worse on themselves.
I mean, it is very exciting, and I could see myself doing something like that, but especially if there's a lot of elderly people in that crowd.
Yes.
I mean, come on. It just depends.
And think of it. Okay, I'm going to give you a 6 out of 10 on that one. But a 9 on presentation. Because remember, I gave you 2 of the 3 scenarios. One is you're just called to run down. I mean, and at that point, you might be tinkling yourself. You're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Then there's the I won the bidding. I get to go on stage. And, I mean, you're not excited about being next to Drew Carey, but you're going on stage. Then you win a car.
Oh, damn.
All right. Or if you go to, the fourth big one, you win the Showcase Showdown. Lots of reasons why you might lose control of yourself.
So is there a reason, I might be showbizing you. Okay, never mind. Just... we're gonna forget I said anything.
Okay. Well, so all of those things, they were always prepared. But as far as Mike Richards know, they never had to use the system that was in place in case someone tinkled or worse in their pants. There were curtains, there was a blow dryer, and there were a pair of sweats just in case, because the show has to go on. So there'd be this quick intermission. The crowd wouldn't necessarily know what was going on. They certainly wouldn't see it. But they would then suddenly see the contestant is now wearing sweatpants instead after they had been cleaned up, and then they
continue to go on. One-size-fits-all sweatpants? I don't know of those.
Maybe. He might be leaving out details. There's one in each size.
So is it not okay to show somebody with a stain down there on TV? FCC problem?
You don't want to look at that,
do you? No, it's so embarrassing.
For the person,
it's a bad look. And you're going to have a lot of people watching that are very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, why don't they help them? Why don't they clean them up?
And the smell.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't really affect the viewer.
Yeah, no, but the people there.
Affect the other contestants.
Sure.
$1, Mom.
We've been doing a lot of do we need this, do we want this lately. All these remakes and reboots, they're going to bring back the never-ending story. They've already brought back and ruined Frasier. The Roadhouse, right? They've done a different version. It's not a remake. It's not a reboot. It's just they took the Roadhouse premise with Patrick Swayze. They updated it with Jake Gyllenhaal. And there's so many of these things that are out there, you can't keep track of them all. So in the era of sequels and reboots, are we ready for a sequel for a film that first came out in 1996? Where it is that Adam Sandler is working on a script for Happy Gilmore 2.
Why? No, yes. No, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
I loved Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
I will watch this. I'm going to be excited about it until it gives me reason not to, which means I've watched it and it's terrible.
I'm going
to
start with Kyle on why the no, because I think he might be where I'm at on this.
Adam Sandler was he portrayed a different person back when he first started out. He was more raw. He was more vulgar. In his elderly age, he's become more family friendly, and I just don't want to see Happy Gilmore get tainted. I don't want to see them all as old people. Like, if Shooter McGavin's going to come back in, I don't want to see him looking old. I don't want to see Chubbs. Chubbs is already dead. That doesn't matter.
Spoiler alert.
But, you know, I just it's an original piece of art. I know we've had these discussions before. Like, why are you going back to it? I know you want money, Adam Sandler, but really, it was a.
By the way, quick aside, and again, I'm not that guy who ever says, why do you need more money? That's what America's about. It's capitalism. Adam Sandler was the highest paid celebrity in 2023 thanks to his Netflix deals.
Damn.
That TV show where he voiced the frog.
Leo, that was a movie.
That was his big thing. And then the Jennifer Aniston show did very well as well.
The murder mystery one.
So yes, of course, everything. He's doing it for money. So I think I'm only 30% of the way there with you, Kyle, but I hear what you're saying. You just don't want to see the older version, and then also Adam Sandler has softened and changed, and you're afraid that might make its way into the movie.
Yeah, I don't want. Okay. I love Happy Gilmore. It was one of my first. It was the first movie that introduced me into Adam Sandler. I watched it all the time as a kid. I fell asleep to that movie constantly. That and Billy Madison. And it's...
So my objection to it is that I put Happy Gilmore in that category of movies that. You did it so right the first time, you're not going to do it better.
Yeah, don't.
Again, it's been done, but the reason you can name it or name the ones that have is because it's been done so rarely. Most recently, Maverick. There was no reason to believe that Maverick was going to be as good or better than Top Gun, and they pulled it off. I just don't believe Happy Gilmore needs to be. That's my issue with it is. But Brandon, you're cheering. So why are you cheering?
Well, so I am. I'm a firm believer in everything that's been said. If it's something that's been made so well, don't touch it. Leave it as it is because it is a piece, a work of art. But I have a kind of a soft spot for Adam Sandler because he created his movie production company, Happy Madison, to allow him to make movies and make money with him and his friends. Like all. So he's got this troupe, this entourage of people that he plays in all these movies. And yes, I agree, Kyle, that he's gone more of the family oriented route lately, but that's because of the source material. If they can write a script that is similar to the original Happy Gilmore
in today's world,
as close as you can, there's some pretty vulgar stuff out there, but it's not always vulgar that's funny. There's creative ways they could make this funny. And if they can bring back a lot of his normal crew and introduce some new characters, I think that it could be done well. However, my expectations are low because it is a very hard thing to do, but I could see this being done well if they could do it right. And I like take another example, like Billy Madison, they can't make a sequel to that. There's no way you can continue that story without completely botching it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go.
I felt the same way. Like, the only way I see this being is like number two is like if he finds a little protege of like a neighbor kid or he has a son. Ooh. And they're developing him and he's going to be very similar. Maybe they find a troubled youth and he has to coach him. Like, I don't want that either.
No, that sounds terrible.
What if he coaches Tiger Woods' son?
That sounds even worse. Oh. I don't know if Tiger Woods' son can act. I know he can golf.
Yeah. See, now, okay. This helps, Kyle, if they allow Happy Gilmore to just be the older version of the young self.
He's on the senior tour now.
Yeah, because there are plenty of people. I know in real life he's advanced in how he is, and then also shows that he's, and as Brandon said, that's how they're designed, that's how they're written for him to show this side of him, the family side. But this one in particular, because there are plenty of people that grow old and they're still that same person, right, that they were. So if they just make him the older version of that younger self, and I think Adam Sandler could pull that off if they go that route, it could be funny.
Again, I don't want to see it made, but to add to that, maybe Adam Sandler, after 5-10 years of being softer and more family oriented, maybe he's ready to go back to being a frat boy for
maybe that's why he's doing it. Yeah.
Have some fun. Like,
yeah. By the way, Shooter McGavin was mentioned. Christopher McDonald, who is the actor that played Shooter McGavin, is on board. He says that Adam Sandler has showed him the first draft of the script and says, quote, "You're gonna love it."
Ah!
I thought, wow, this could be awesome.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, hurry.
What do you think he's gonna say? What do you expect the guy who plays Shooter McGavin, who's never done anything else with his career, is going to say?
Thank you.
You know.
I don't care.
I don't have a lot of hope for this.
Taking him at his word.
And I eat pieces of crap like you for breakfast.
God. According to Bloomberg, Jerry Seinfeld made, this whole what's a person worth kind of thing. If you go all the way back to when he began touring in the 1980s, all the way through now, he's made more than $100 million from touring. Of course, that's over four decades. I'm not diminishing it, but, you know, $20 million a year, et cetera, that's not going to put you in the pantheon of Jeff Bezos land. He owns $40 million in real estate, and the estimate assumes that Jerry invested his money beginning in 1990. Of course, the big thing is the show Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld produced along with Larry David from the beginning. It is still on everywhere. It jumps from various streaming services. It's on Comedy Central now. It used to be on TBS all the time. And Jerry gets a check every time. He has made $500 million in syndication deals alone.
Nice.
Good for him.
From Seinfeld. He has a current Netflix streaming deal worth $94 million. All of this.
Jeez.
Is to report that according to Bloomberg, Jerry Seinfeld is now officially a billionaire.
Whoa.
Jerry's rep calls the story inaccurate, but didn't say how much Jerry is actually worth.
It's actually $2 billion.
Yeah. What, billionaire? Are you kidding me? That was years ago, okay?
Shut up.
What are we in Donald Trump land? A billion? Really? Is that all?
I remember watching like this MTV, maybe it was a VH1 show of like what it's worth or something like that, but it showcased like celebrities and all their luxurious purchases. And they had one episode where they were saying all the celebrities who got invited to get an American Express black card. And I remember Jerry Seinfeld being one of them, and I'm thinking like, oh, he's one of the richest guys on the planet.
Wasn't he one of the first ones to get it?
Yeah.
I remember him talking about that on the Comedians with Cars Getting Coffee show.
Yeah, whether he was the first, but yes, he was one of the originals do the whole black card thing.
And it's people that you were just mocking. Oh, God, that was decades ago when he was a millionaire. He's progressed to the purple card, and you wouldn't know about that unless you're a billionaire.
Now, Brandon, I'm going to go out on a limb. A couple months ago, we were talking about because of Madonna getting sued because people had to wait 2 hours. So we went into the whole, all right, who's your bucket list artist that you would wait, that you would just, okay, it's been 2 hours, but I'm not leaving because I want to see him. And it's difficult for us in our industry. We've been so privileged to see so many shows. And Brandon had an amazing answer. Billy Joel, he said, all right, I'm going to guess that on your current list, if you have a bucket list or whatever of things you want to do, experience, et cetera, at some point is you want to see, I would think, a show, maybe an experience inside the Las Vegas Sphere.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. And it can't be U2. It can't be the upcoming residency with the Grateful Dead.
What about Fish?
No, you mean Fish.
Oh, sorry. I think I saw a teaser that the Grateful Dead, but yeah,
they
Fish.
They are the same thing.
Same stinky crowd.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I would absolutely. And honestly, I would go see a U2 show just to experience the Sphere. But I would love to go see a show, especially a Tool show, just because they are so visually, they put all the visual effects into their show and everything, so they would just be tricky.
I just want to go inside the place.
It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the outside is amazing, obviously, but yes, what's the inside like in person?
The Sphere is the big ball, if you haven't seen it yet. It's the big ball that you can see across the strip, and they light it up, and then inside, it's an auditorium. It's got about 18,000 seats, 1 million square foot LED screen that wraps up over and around the audience. The venue's technologies include Sphere Immersive Sound, which delivers precise sound to every seat.
Slow down.
The exterior that I described is the world's largest LED screen. And there's a variety of things that they're doing. It is designed right now for residencies, like what U2 did. All right, U2's here for the next 3 months. Come see it. They are also opening it up and are going to do their first corporate event in June. Tim Cook of Apple? Is he the one still alive?
Yeah.
I get him confused, him and Steve Jobs. Every year he comes out, right? He says, oh, here's our latest stuff and blah, 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 and the Apple crowd goes, and that's all right. All the companies do that. The keynote express from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise president and chief CEO will take place on June 18th inside the Sphere. That couldn't have been cheap. So they're going to start doing those kind of things.
That's cool.
But as Brandon alluded to, U2's 5-month 40-show residency at the Sphere wrapped up on March 2nd. There are 4 shows in April. And the band's website says that those will be the only shows at the Sphere in 2024. So when U2 is done in April, they're done at the Sphere for the year.
Wow.
They're not coming back. Because, again, the Sphere wants residencies. And we got this announcement. Oh, we've signed their next big one. Fish. We'll be live at the Sphere for 24 shows from May through July.
You got to factor in like the amount of work that goes into the creative elements of a place that big, because you're normally working with like one large LED screen that's behind the band on a typical stage. This is a entire sphere of images, and it's all interactive.
Literally.
To what's going on. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see this taking months and months to develop for a new act to put together their own residency. And so, it's not like somebody can just bring their tour into the Sphere and just plug and play.
And my understanding from people that have gone, like first-person understanding from people that have gone more than once, U2 continue to constantly develop.
That's awesome.
And right. Change.
I hope so.
And learn from it. And that's another nice thing about it's just this one band and this one crew. And now, will they eventually get to the point where a Tool just shows up? I don't know what their plans are long term, but I do know who will follow Fish. So after we're done with being bored this summer with Fish, May 16th through July 13th, we know who's going to be there next.
Yeah. Okay. Not only are you bored on the inside, But imagine, I'm just imagining this is what's going to happen. You're like, oh, look, another graphic on the outside of tie-dye, right? It's like, oh, we got purple tie-dye. Oh, now it's green. I mean, it's like, Jesus Lord.
Please, please don't. Don't call, don't write. We know. We absolutely know. Fish has an enormously loyal following, and they are in their own right very popular. It's just you're either fish or not.
Yeah,
it's very polarizing.
If you're normal, and you don't know why.
And you can't. The thing you can't argue is fish ain't no you two.
Oh God!
All right,
no.
They're a I wouldn't call them a niche band, but they're a very unique, eclectic. They have their following, and that's it.
You know what they are? They're a womp womp.
Yeah,
bunch of crap. That's what they are.
I'm not gonna put them down. I'm just gonna say you can't argue when you're talking about household names, because you know what? There's a lot of people who think U2's a womp womp.
Sure.
And you have every right to those opinions.
Right here.
But to go from U2.
A womp womp.
To fish.
To fish. Yeah, there's the womp womp.
I'm throwing that fish back.
So. Despite wrapping up the band's latest farewell tour in June, like they all do, right? Oh, farewell tour, we're all done. Here we come again.
Kiss.
The next residency at Spheres Entertainment in Las Vegas after Fish from September through December will be, you can't argue with the name, you can't argue with the band. I mean, they're towards the end, but it will be the Eagles.
Yeah!
Taking over the Sphere in Las Vegas to end the year.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob,
anybody,
and Dawn Show.